Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
It is Wednesday, and welcome to the Social. Very sadly, we are starting on a very, very heavy note today as we are processing the devastating mass shooting at a Texas elementary school. 19 children and two adults were killed after a teenage gunman opened fire in their classroom. It is now the deadliest shooting in the U.S. since Sandy Hook, which was 10 years ago. I guess everybody asking the same questions, ladies. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take for America to finally change?
I mean, I don't think there's an easy answer to that question. I think if there was, we would have seen something happen at Sandy Hook. And actually, since Sandy Hook, there have been over 900 shootings on school grounds in America. And, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of outrage today. Joe Biden, in fact, went and he said, what struck me on that 17-hour flight when he got the news of this was that these kinds of mass shootings rarely happen anywhere else in the world. Why are we willing to listen to this carnage, to live with this carnage? He asked that. And after this speech, a Republican Florida state representative basically threatened Biden. He said, take our guns, Biden, and you'll learn why the Second Amendment was written in the first place. When you just sit there with that kind of a mentality, I don't think you can change that. I don't think there's one thing that can change that because there's something. And I actually don't even think the gun control laws would help at this point, because what you've got is this attitude towards guns that is baked into the identity of America, coupled with a massive amount of mental illness, probably in part to do with the pandemic, to do with lack of resources, to do with the shrinking middle class. I could go on and on. And so within this, you know, easy access to guns and no supports for people who need it the most, you're going to have mass shootings again and again.
But is that a myth? Like, you know, I think that there are people who are vocal like that about their guns, but we hear all the time that in America, many people, including those who use guns, are in favor of stricter gun laws and safe laws. It's the legislators. It's the people who are elected who are, some say, controlled by the gun lobby. Because, again, just like we say on many issues, including abortion, the majority of Americans want safer laws. It's just, do they go from there to voting for the people who would put those laws in place?
I think that's exactly. I'm sure we all watched NBA coach Steve Kerr give that impassioned, frustrated, you know, angry speech about this very thing, that 90% of Americans do want more stringent gun laws, at least the background checks, at the very least that. And he sort of spelled it out that House Resolution 8, I believe, it was passed in the House 2 years ago, and 50 senators are just sitting on this and kind of refuse to vote for it. And he's basically saying they have blood on their hands. They're not doing anything. And
but it's a small group of people.
It's a small group of people who have so much power. And as he said, they're refusing to relinquish that power. And then he went on about he was so frustrated, but there was a basketball game to play. He had no choice. And that ticked for me for some reason. I know he didn't have a choice, but then there was part of me like, do you have a choice? Like, don't play the game. Teachers refuse to go to school. I know that's so improbable, but it's also improbable that this is the only place in the world where teachers and students as young as like grade one, grade two, grade three have routine active shooter drills. Mm-hmm. There was this whole thing on Twitter with people who are now in their 30s sharing the trauma of having these drills where they weren't told it was a drill.
Wow.
And just groups of kids crying and basically just teachers being instructed like, you're going to have to sacrifice yourself. And students being told they should form two groups so that one group is probably going to be killed, but the second group will be saved. Like nowhere else in the world are kids exposed to the threat of being hunted in a classroom.
And I think Biden mentioned that last night, is that he's saying children watching each other die like as if they're on a battlefield.
Yes.
And these were a bunch of fourth graders in Texas, which we're now learning, the vast majority of which were young Latino kids in a very small, tight-knit rural community. Everybody knows everybody in this community. Interestingly, Matthew McConaughey's hometown.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to hear where he steps into this conversation, if at all, because I think he could have a big influence here. But I do think of two things. Things can be done because other countries in the world have shown that. In 1996, Australia banned semi-automatic and assault-style rifles in response to a mass shooting that happened there. And a man killed 35 people and wounded 18 others. And what was the difference? The legislators were able to be on the same page. And within 8 weeks, they had had the assault rifle ban. And you know what the result was? Two major things happened. All gun violence dropped. They didn't have another mass shooting for 22 years.
Yeah.
Not one. Suicide by guns, that dropped 80%.
Wow.
In other words, it's possible. And is it that different? Australia, they got their hunting.
Mm-hmm.
They love their guns too. And shockingly, life has gone on as normal in Australia with handguns, still legal by and large, but assault rifles being the thing that was taken off the table. And how did they do that? A very generous buyback. They included a new tax. It was actually a medical tax. And they used that to buy back an enormous amount of guns,
mm-hmm.
assault rifles that were on the street. In other words, it can be done if there is a political will to do so. And secondly, as Canadians, and we sit here going, oh my gosh, you know, I said it many times and I'll continue to say it. America sneezes and Canada catches a cold.
Agreed.
Where we have mass shootings in Canada, which luckily is not even close to the Mm-mm. frequency of the United States, there are young white men being radicalized on American websites
yeah.
with far-right rhetoric. So what is happening in the States when there is a spillover effect, it does affect us.
We've also had,
so we have
right
to
in
mindful.
Our own communities, we have had several stabbings at high schools in recent weeks. And so it's not like we can't address the fact that there is violence on the increase in many types of communities. But when we bring it back to this particular story, like I opened up my phone this morning and I saw this photo of this child. And I mean, obviously, you shouldn't have to see a photo. This is Uzziah.
Oh my God.
I want to get his name right. Garcia, and he's my son's age. And I mean, this child got up and got dropped off the same way I drop off my son every day to school. There were teachers who were in there who went to school to teach children. You know, no one should have to go into a classroom ever expecting violence to occur. And I can't stop thinking, I mean, I don't know if you're doing this, but like, I know Jai will hear about this on the schoolyard.
Marquesa told me about this story. So I'll tell you something. Last night, this was all over the news, and I said, I'm not turning the news on. And I said, Marquesa, she was doing her homework. I said, Mommy's going to go watch TV over there, and I don't want you to come. You focus on your homework. And you know what she said to me? I already know what you're going to watch. It's the school
wow.
shooting.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how she heard about it. I don't actually know how she heard about it. Maybe in the radio, on the car ride home. Like, I actually don't know. And they're on it. And you know what Marquesa said last night? Mommy, can I sleep in your bed? And guess what? Of course. She didn't have to say why. And I, as a mother, was like, how many parents don't get to do this tonight
yeah.
in Texas? Like, and the kids are on it. And so I don't know how you shield them from this. I don't actually know. How do you explain this?
What? They didn't, I mean, they have tried since Sandy Hook and before. They haven't done anything. Like, I think it's built in. You know, Melissa, you cited the example of Australia. I just, you know, it can be done. Everybody needs the political will. But can you change the DNA of a country?
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, Amanda Gorman tweeted this about America. And, I mean, is there anything more true than this? The truth
yeah.
is one nation under guns. So it's built into it's on this piece of paper that they revere, right?
Yeah.
This Second Amendment, and they, you know, they point to as what America is the right to own firearms above and over the life of a child. I mean, that's the message.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't learned. I don't know. I don't
and
want
yet
to be defeatist.
They're all trying, like, you know, to discard Roe v. Wade. They care so much about children.
Well, that's
they
another
care
thing.
So much.
They care about the unborn children, but the born children. Yeah, let's.
There's no protection.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I was going to say, I hope we don't have to talk about this again, but the sad truth is we probably will.
Here's a question. Is it okay for someone to date someone who is 25 years younger? That's what we're asking. A woman in her late 60s wrote to Miss Manners wanting to know if that's inappropriate. What do you think? Would you date someone 25 years younger than you?
Have you ever heard of that love math formula?
No.
So that thing where it says you divide your age
in half plus seven. And that is your threshold for how much younger you can date. You ever heard this?
No.
I think it's out there in the
culture. Based on what, science?
Science, please. But there's, it's, I don't know, Tyrone and I were talking about it at eTalk yesterday, and he had heard of it. So yeah, it's your age divided by two plus seven. So
29.
So for, yeah, there you go. So it'd be cool for you to date a 29-year-old and no
nothing younger.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
I mean, I don't know if you buy into it that, but what is the threshold like? Because if there's no formula, like how do you just I would never date anyone X years younger than me.
Because everyone's maturity is so different. No two guys that are 29 are going to be the same necessarily.
Okay, so a 21-year-old who's super mature is good.
That's too much of a spread. You haven't had enough life experience. For me, I think my threshold would be 25.
25 loves
you.
At the age you are now.
Yes.
What about when you're 60?
I don't know. That will probably change. I would say
20.
Yeah. I would say 20.
Probably lower.
Hey, listen, men have been doing it for years.
Miss Manners said she sent along her best wishes and suggested ignoring anyone who does not agree with this lady. This lady that sounded like she was a time traveler from a different era. Yes. The gentleman asked whether I would be his lady and accept his ring. That's how she speaks.
Even calling him a gentleman.
She's a magical lady. She deserves this happiness. She's not of our time.
But this is gendered, right? We're all as four ladies sitting here talking about how young would we go. Do you think men sit around and say, just how young would you go?
No, it's a great question.
It's just how old would you go?
Well, yeah exactly. Exactly.
And Leonardo
I am on team, like, let's normalize seeing older women with younger men. So thank you, Harry Styles. Thank you, Nick Jonas. Thank you, Corey Gamble.
Thank you, Jess.
Like, I love normalizing this. And they're only, like, a decade apart. These two are actually 25 years apart.
Are they really?
This is 10 years apart. But let's normalize that. Like I said, men have been doing it since the beginning of time.
I don't think I could do it. I mean, you just mentioned you and Simon. You had 10-year spread. That's fine.
9.5 or 8.5.
Okay, but hold on. How old was he and you when you started dating?
That's the kind of creepy part. He was 20 and I was 29.
Oh.
I don't think that's creepy.
I don't
think you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for
support. I also think he's like an, I mean, it's that
he
kind
is.
Of class.
He's like an old man.
He really is like an old man. I mean that in the most
He speaks like this lady. Milady. Would you like to go for a stroll in the park?
I couldn't do it though. Like I don't think I could do it. Even though we talk about, like, obviously when I think about like Timothée Chalamet or like Harry Styles, like I obviously can find reasons like in my imagination that I would be into this. But when I put it into practical, like hanging out together, I don't know. The part of me is like, I don't know how to describe this. I find my sexiness comes from a reciprocation of like that they find me hot and I find them hot. And there's something inside of me, and what I'm about to say might sound ageist, is making the assumption that somebody of a certain age would definitely not find me attractive. That there would definitely be like...
Are you being ageist against yourself?
I am being ageist against myself. That when I'm with Jason, I can recognize like, you know, it's like, oh, there's things about... like we're the same age-ish. So I can be like, we find each other attractive, but we got the same kinds caliber of flaws. With somebody waiting... You guys are looking at me like I'm speaking another language. I just nearly dawned on you.
You are like a vixen.
No, there are things happening that are not of the same age.
Right.
And I'm fine with them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be down on myself.
Yeah.
It's just that I feel like you get into that Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore thing.
I hear what you're saying.
Where you're chasing a kind of
I hear
like,
what you're saying. But let me give you an example. Like Vera Wang. Right? A photo of Vera Wang.
Right.
She's 73 years old.
Yes.
So if you look at Vera Wang and you look at her as a 73-year-old woman, you're like, okay, she needs to be with someone around her age. No, sorry. No 73-year-old is looking like the same way that Vera's looking.
Fair.
So that's why she has to date younger.
Yeah.
Because
that's her equal.
That's right.
Physically.
Right. When she was 63, she dated a 27-year-old, Evan Lysacek. Because, think about who Vera Wang is.
Yeah. Anyway, go look on her Instagram if you don't know what 7 is.
I am immediately going to do this. But speaking of younger men, a husband wrote to Slate for advice saying his wife is adamant their son becomes a good man and cleans up after himself in the bathroom. Here's the catch. This little young man is only 5 years old. So is that too much pressure to put on a kid?
Okay, I want to fill in a few details on this story, because generally you're like, well, what's wrong with that if he's five? I mean, kids as young as two in daycare, they make a mess and then they have that cute little cleanup song. Clean up, clean up, right? Like, we're teaching kids young that you can clean up after yourself. So that doesn't sound groundbreaking, except for the fact that it's the husband who wrote in for this story. And he actually used the words, this is bordering on abusive. Because if the son doesn't do it right the first time, he must go back and do it until it's right.
Yeah, we're talking about peeing on the seat here.
Peeing on the seat.
Peeing on the seat.
Specifically.
Yeah.
And that there's now a little bucket of rags so that if the son keeps messing up the cleanup, he's got to go back. And that's what the husband takes issue with.
Yeah.
So now I have a couple of questions. What's the relationship like between mom and dad? Because they're not talking. Mm-hmm. Mom's taken the lead. Mom has said she was raised with the mom and she will not under any circumstances raise a man that has a woman have to clean up after him. So there's questions I have about the dynamic between mom and dad. And finally, the tone. Is mom making it playful? Or is she like, you better clean up that pee drop or else?
I don't think she's going full mommy dearest, but she is saying to him, like, hey, this wasn't good enough. I need you to go back and do it again. To the five-year-old, just saying that out loud sounds a little, maybe a little intense. But there's part of me that really likes this. I think peeing on toilet seats and leaving it is highly disrespectful. And you guys are always saying pets are like your kids and stuff like that. We train puppies to not pee on a carpet and stuff like that. So why would you treat your five-year-old any different? Plus, he gets a cute little catty cleaning thing to do it.
I don't know. I think it's one thing. I remember Jai being that age, and if he spilled, like, milk, I would say to him, I wouldn't make him. It wouldn't be like,
clean it up.
But it would be like, here you go. You can do this up. And it became something cute. But I think this idea of having a little kit, there's something a bit maniacal about the whole thing. I also think it's a lot of work. Like, this mother, I mean, we say a lot of times that the mom seems to wear the weight of raising bad sons or men who, like, sons who don't become good men. And I think, like, that's a lot of pressure. Like, why does it have to fall to her?
Where is dad?
Where is dad?
Especially
in this?
When we're talking about peeing.
Yeah.
Because they pee, presumably, the child and the father pee the same way with the same apparatus. Yes?
Yeah, yeah.
So standing up, in this case, it sounds
we're talking about training them, then wouldn't it be the thought, if the son is, you know, spraying it all over the place, then I feel like it would be the responsibility of the father to be like, hey, son, here's how you not spray.
Yeah.
Sit.
So the answer is sit.
Oh, just looking at our group. Well,
just sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There it is. There it is. All right. All good luck, mom.
I don't know if we're going to solve this, but let's move on to our next topic. Check this out. Adidas and Gucci are selling a $2,000 umbrella that is not waterproof. According to the website, it's meant for sun protection and decorative use, and it's being heavily mocked on social media in China. Is it fair to be outraged here?
Well, if you're buying a $1,500 umbrella, maybe you have bigger problems, or maybe you have no problems at all if you can buy a $1,500 umbrella. And let's be honest, they're buying it because of the logo stuff. There was another partnership between Adidas and Balenciaga, and someone posted the images side by side of, like, the Adidas track shirt, the Adidas track pants beside the Balenciaga. And it just says Balenciaga, little tiny. So it went from being a $40 jacket to a $1,500 jacket. So you're just paying for that. If that's your jam, then you're getting what you deserve, I guess, maybe.
We all know that rich people never get caught in the rain.
Yeah.
I call bluff on all of this. If you can afford a $1,500 umbrella, which, by the way, I looked online just because I thought, is it still for sale? And it is. It very clearly says it's a sun umbrella.
They updated it, apparently, after the outrage.
Great, but for my mother always, it's, I guess, a parasol.
$1,500 parasol. Oh, my mother. That sounds very reasonable.
That's very normal in Filipino culture. Everybody's got umbrellas because they want to be protected from the sun. That is very, very common. So
the thing is, I don't think they did it very intelligently. If they were marketing to the Asian market, like China, they were the ones who backlashed. Because yes, I mean, this traditionally is a Chinese thing. It goes back centuries. Parasols, they were made out of paper or silk.
Yeah.
So you market it that way, then maybe culturally people aren't upset with you. But they were trying to sell it to both people. An umbrella for rain, I guess, but also you can say it's a sun umbrella, but it's not really. You know those parasols, like the ancient
Yeah, totally.
They're beautiful,
yeah.
Right?
Love them. I love
them. Yeah, make one of those. Yeah. Then sell it for that much money using the craftsmanship. I think they would have had a better experience.
Can anyone just explain to me why, outside of this, like umbrellas are so crappy, just in general? Like, you got one job, umbrella makers, to make a good umbrella. And why is it that I buy the $7 one, I would say
maybe
once a year?
Because we buy the $7 one.
Yeah. Oh, you think if I spent $1,500?
No, I think if we spent $50 an umbrella, no, yes, we'd have it
there
for
is
life.
A $30 to $50 in, range
really?
Umbrellas
there is a
are
difference.
Really good.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. There is a difference.
And less or more environmental, too, because how many times you throw out
fine.
The $7
yeah.
umbrella?
I want to hear from people
don't,
on this one.
Yeah,
if
don't
they
cheap out on your umbrella.
Yeah. On a $40 umbrella. It's a small one. I want to know. I don't want one of those long, big ones. I want
well,
a small one.
The compact.
No.
I want a small
those
one.
Those the compact ones, but not $7. Go for the $30 to $50 range, right. And it'll last
yeah,
you a
it's
few
true.
Years.
You get what you pay for, unless it's $1,500.
Okay.
Then in that case, forget it.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.